Well, welcome to break number 27. Going to talk a little bit about music today and possibly in the next break or so. Over the years, we have learned from Moses and Amos and Daniel, for example, some marvelous application when it comes to music. Moses taught us that just because something works, it produces results, doesn't mean it's right. When he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock, he still got water, he still fed his people, but as it turns out, it wasn't right, and Moses would have to pay for that. So just because it works doesn't mean that it's right. And then I think Paul even talks about that when it comes to gain is godliness. That's what people believe today. Just because something appears to work, just because there's a gain, just because there's people happy about it, or the kids get involved, and all this kind of stuff, doesn't mean it's right in God's eyes, and it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that because we can make it work, then God must like it. Not at all. We're very educated in some respects. We are very trained on how to develop a ministry and how to make things happen in your church, but we know, at least our crowd knows, that it isn't because of truth. We know what people think of truth these days. Anyway, back to music. We learn from Amos that just because the scriptures have been changed, so they are, A, no longer scriptures, but do people think that they are the religious book from God? So these modern Bibles can prove that using the world's music to worship God is fine because the modern Bibles say, well, David did it. No, that's not true. David did not do that. His music was used to praise God, and he didn't use the kind of music that appeals to the flesh, etc., etc. We've talked about that many times. Then we've learned from Daniel that the Antichrist, the Nebuchadnezzar, the image, which is a type of Antichrist, the worship was brought about by all kinds of music. The sound of the cornet, sackbut, harp, that kind of stuff. And then it finishes up with, and all kinds of music. M-U-S-I-C-K, by the way, in your King James Bible. So we understand that the coming of the beast and the Antichrist, etc., etc., music will be the power behind getting people to worship that. Then we've also learned from Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, for example. He says, and Paul doesn't say much about it, but what he does say is very powerful. He says, let the word of Christ, again, that's the risen Savior, folks. That is not the teachings of Jesus to the Jews in the Gospels. This is the word of Christ. That's the risen Savior, Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So music can be done to teach and admonish. That's fine. But it's the word of Christ. It's not the text. It's not the lyrics. It's the word of Christ that should be coming through with music just as a simple tool. But it finishes up singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Then in Ephesians, it has a very, very important verse. Ephesians 5, verse 19, speak into yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Again, see, there that is, which, by the way, follows a historical order. First, there were psalms, then there were hymns, and then we finish up our days with spiritual songs, which can be just about anything, it seems like, anymore. But here's what he says. He says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Modern Bibles take that word melody, and they put the word music in there. Now, we have learned musically by our studies of the music, historical music of the white race, the Caucasian, the black race, Africans, and the brown race, Orientals. If we study, which we have, the history of the music, those three races, then we see that melody deals with a spiritual nature. Harmony deals with the mental, the moods that we have, and rhythm deals with the body and the flesh. So when Paul says making melody in your heart, see, that's the element of music that God wants to hear, melody. And I think it's back in Amos chapter 5. He stops hearing the melody of their vials. He doesn't want to hear that. So there's a melody that pleases God, and there are melodies that don't. But anyway, that's not the point here this morning. The point is, as we go to Revelation chapter 13, we're talking about the mark that will be placed in the forehead or in their right hand. Not on, but in. And we're going to look at that and music and how those two things work together. Let's look at verse 8 in Revelation chapter 13. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Okay, so we know that this will be a worship situation. We learn from Daniel again that music is what kicks off the worship at the sound, see, at the sound of all kinds of music. And in verse 15 it says, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." Here is wisdom. "Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is a number of man, and his number is 666, which, by the way, in Hebrew language is a W, so WWW is 666 on your computers. But anyway, now we're going to look at a very fascinating thing here about the future of music. Now, here's an article. I can give you the link to it if anybody wants to read the entire article. Let me just give you some highlights because it's interesting. Now, I know the tribulation is not our concern. It's not our problem. And I know we want to believe that it's just around the corner. We see things happening more and more that the scriptures warn about and the scriptures talk about. But when one looks at the exact nature of the tribulation and the dispensation of grace and how it has to make a change, then we still can't be all that close. We're closer. We're closer than we ever have been. But there's still a lot of things that have to take place. So really, the tribulation is not our concern. Now, if we want to talk to people who we believe will possibly be going through the tribulation during their lifetime, especially the young people or their parents or whatever, you know already, people don't want to hear this. They're not interested. They think it's all boo-hooey. And, you know, because the rapture hasn't come and everybody said it was going to, so then the rapture-speaking people are nuts. The rapture people speaking that use agape and phileo and use different Bibles, and they got this modern sweet love stuff. People don't buy into that anymore. They're just as wicked and deceitful and sneaky as most of them are anyway when it comes to business and their Christian love. So the people don't buy into their stuff as much. Now, these guys that are preaching with a big grin on their face, the big smiles, that God will bless you. But we know what's happening here is the people that have the rock and roll music, the church music that gets them excited, that's the crowd that's bringing all these thousands of people to these so-called churches or houses of worship or prayer houses or whatever. It's not the preaching. It's not the teaching. It's the music that's bringing people in. So we know people aren't going to believe us when we talk about in the forehead, you know, in the hand, the Antichrist. They're just not into that stuff anymore. Even though, getting pretty obvious out there, the global world, the global economy, the global religion, the global constitutional stuff, it's an amazing thing. We see that. But they don't want to hear about it. But we can do one thing, is we can see people and how they're being prepped for the coming of the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 6, not Revelation chapter 19. The power of music. This is all coming around. But I want to show you something here today. It's a fascinating article. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, he's just putting this together. He doesn't know how serious what it is that he's talking about. Let me put it that way. He knows what he's talking about, but he doesn't understand the depth of what he's showing here. This is called, "Is the Future of Music a Chip in Your Brain?" He talks about what music will have to do in the people's lives during the tribulation, and it'll all be based on that chip. Remember, you can't do anything without that mark. And it's in the forehead, which would be the brain. Now, it's also in your hand, so there still has to be a connection to the brain. But when it says in the forehead, we know that that's the brain, okay? And what he's talking about here is music and a chip, the smart chip. And it'll be placed in people's brains, in their foreheads, and this is the element of the chip that has to deal with music. And we will talk about the details in number 28.